Blog Talk Radio.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
Warning, if you are mentally unstable, overly emotional, on medication, need constant reassurance, or just want sunshine blown up your ass, this show may not be suitable for you. If there's anyone left, follow me.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Broadcasting from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
Every time I know what to say, east, west, mid, west, and the dirty south. Always in the way that I've been rocking the house. All the ladies in the two G's, like Speed Arrogant, you make me weak at the knees. I'm glad to be like here with y'all. So play is play, and ball is ball. So,
Jason. It's good to be back, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Long time no talk.
And you can hear me good. Everything is good.
It is for now until we start talking about things that the government doesn't want people to talk about.
Yeah, and then we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
Well, today is Sunday evening. We are back. We are on the Radar Podcasting Awards. Just want to say we're on the radar. We haven't won anything, but it's good to be noticed. I got to say, Blog Talk Radio has improved. I've got a great studio here, and I see good things in the future. It's going to be a rocky start because we've got everybody in place, but as soon as the stage is set and we get ready to roll and it's night one, something always happens. Somebody can't make it. Somebody can't do this. Somebody can't do that. We knew it was going to happen. So, Jason, I've come prepared.
Let's get it
today,
going, man.
Today is Sunday, August 9th, 2015. We just had the first presidential debate held right here in Cleveland. How about that? I don't have applause. There's a lot of things that I didn't get to, but I wasn't.
How about this?
Jason?
How about a wah, wah, wah?
Yeah, I wasn't invited. The establishment does not like me at all, and I wear that as a badge of honor.
Well, you know what that says?
What's that?
That says that you're doing something right.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into all that. We're going to talk about what's going on here. I had a conversation actually today with a former military man. We could go on for hours and talk about the things we know, the things that are going on, the things that happened. He could add a lot of insight, as most military men and women can. It was a very interesting conversation. I'd like to get into it sometime, but not tonight. I think, Jason, you're right. I think we need itinerary. I think we need a producer. You and I, we just tend to go wherever the road takes us. And sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes it's redundant.
So, I don't, you know what, though? We just need to get organized. But the other thing is, Rob, I do believe that in the coming months, we're going to have a lot of good stuff to be talking about.
Absolutely. As soon as everything falls into place, we're good. This is our first show back. This is a test show. If you're listening, I think it will be rather interesting. We're going to have our first ever peasant panel. And what that is, it's if you watch Fox News and you notice after the debate, they have their panel. Well, I just broke that wide open because I happened to spot a Washington insider in the very front row. And they asked him many questions. Now, we're led to believe, and by the way, if you go to my Twitter, Robert Rule Show on Twitter, you can see a picture of Bush. What's the guy, who's the guy that owns Fox News? Everybody knows who I'm talking about, right?
I think I do, yeah. Not Ted Turner, he's CNN.
I mean, he's so irrelevant, it, you know, it just doesn't mean anything to me. But let me go back here and find it. Rupert Murdoch. So you have Jeb Bush, Rupert Murdoch in the middle, and Valerie Jarrett all sitting together for dinner. Does that say anything to you, Jason?
Yeah, they're birds of the same, you know, yeah, they're of the same flock. That's why...
Cool. Go ahead.
Well, that's why, you know, I've said in the show before, Rob, I'm sort of a political atheist, and I hate to rain on everybody's parade, but these jokers are playing for the same team. And I know that's very unpopular rhetoric. I know people want to believe in the system, but what you just said is just one other shred of proof that they scratch each other's backs. And
absolutely.
The common person, you and I, people we work with, our friends, our family, our loved ones, the strangers around us, we don't matter. So, you know, and I've said it before, if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. And, you know, that's sort of my stance. But I still think that it's interesting for us to pick some of this apart, because I think in doing that, we may be able to sort of get at the truth and hopefully wake some people up along the way. So I don't think our efforts are in vain.
I will tell you that voting doesn't really matter at the presidential level.
Yes,
however,
I would agree.
It does matter. At the local level. And that's what we need to concentrate on.
Yes, and I'm with you on that. I do agree with you on that, that if you're going to change anything, it's probably going to be at the local level. I'm with you on that.
And I understand that people get frustrated because you only represent one little tiny piece of this great land. And that's fine. That's fine. You should be comfortable with that. Because as other people wake up and as it spreads, more and more people are going to get involved. It took the Ron Paul people back in 2007. I'll tell you what happened back then. People ran for committeeman, which is a well-kept secret that people don't know about. It's simply you're representing about the people in about 3 to 5 streets in your neighborhood. And you put your name on the ballot, and people actually go out and vote for you. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to get any petition signed. Generally, these parties appoint people to those positions because nobody knows about it, so nobody runs. The Tea Party has recently gotten hip to that. And I don't necessarily entirely think that's a good thing. I know the Tea Party is well-intentioned, but sometimes... in some lot of cases, actually, they've run amok. And so I think it would be best if individuals would take the time to go to the county election board and put your name on the ballot and run, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Now, what you do then is you help your local candidates. You get to know them, get to add your two cents in the conversations. You know, I started helping out local candidates, and I would just add my two cents in a conversation. For instance, me and a gentleman that's running for mayor right now in his city, just two of us out putting up signs. I was helping him put up signs, putting them together out in the rain. Happened to run into another guy who was running for the same position, and I was able to add my two cents, give my thoughts, them into consideration. I've helped state representatives with legislation. Lots of people do. I mean, it's not that hard to do, ladies and gentlemen. You are helping shape and mold your party. And then what you also get to do is you get to decide who your party is going to endorse. You get to decide who your chairman is going to be. You get to decide who your chairman are going to be. It's an experience that you don't want to miss. Jason, have I gone too long on that?
No, not at all.
So, local is very important because you're deciding the next generation of congressmen, senators, state committees, ultimately leading up to the top position. So it's very important to start locally and build that foundation. You want to get good people in there. Right now, as it stands, Jason, where I'm at, I'm convinced we have a major problem. I have a major problem here in this county, Lake County.
How so?
We need to change it. It needs changed. It needs a good cleaning. They're leaving out Constitution. Let me put it to you this way. The leadership and the like are touting the Constitution. And in the meantime, keeping out people who would actually defend it. That's the kind of shenanigans going on here. Quite frankly, I've kept my mouth shut for a while and I've had enough. I've had enough. And I know you people hear me out there. And I know that you know it's true. And a lot of people are afraid to stand up to the establishment. And it's time, ladies and gentlemen, not to be afraid anymore. We don't have much time. A couple more elections and we're going to be slaves forever. There's not going to be a way to reverse it. So you're going to have to get up and do something now. I think I've kind of strayed from the subject. This is where a producer would come in and smack me in the head and say, hey, man, get back on track. But,
well, you know what? It's great.
What's that?
It's all right, man. You know what? You take the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show to free associate on whatever's on your mind. And then after that 15, 20 minutes, then we start a specific segment, you know?
Well, I'll tell you why the show ceased to exist there for a little while. Everything was building up. People were turning into complete idiots. You had the race wars, which we predicted. We didn't know that they would try to get rid of history. Hell, they were burning flags, taking down Confederate flags. Now, if a state wants to take down a Confederate flag off of the Capitol lawn, that's fine. As long as the legislature votes for it and everybody's okay with it. If everybody's not okay with it, those people won't be elected next time, right? Fine.
Yeah.
You did it. You did it legally. I'm okay with that. But then you've got videos of kids going up to people's houses and stealing their flags. You got people burning and desecrating on flags. or defecating rather. It's just nasty. It's disgusting. You people are idiots. And then, and I can hear them right now yelling, oh, it's my constitutional right. Okay, whatever. It's disgusting. I don't give a damn about what you say. Respect my right to say what how I feel. So then you had Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, saying we're going to kill the white devil, things of that nature. It just got to be so much. People got so stupid. Obama has divided this country. It probably hasn't been this divided since the end of the Civil War. Is that saying too much?
I think that's being conservative. I think what you said is understated. Which means I agree with you to the nth degree.
Well, I mean, and that's the main reason I said, you know what? I'm done for a while. I have to take a mental break. Because if I didn't, I'd probably go nuts. I don't know how these talk show hosts have continued to stay on the air through all of that. It's a little tough to swallow. And me, a guy who's on the radio, I'm not making any money. You and I, we're doing this because we're concerned. And we want to get our point across. Now, since we've been gone, a lot's happened, Jason. Explain.
A lot has happened since, in
your words, what have you seen since last we were on air?
Oh, man. I should have kept the damn diary, quite honestly. I mean, really. Well, you know what? Here's something that's interesting. Are you familiar with the forced vaccination law in California? That was huge. That took up a lot of my summer, and my wife were both really, passionate about that. But that Senator Pan, are you familiar with him?
No.
Okay. Well, Senator Pan.
Peter is his first name?
That's a one word you might refer to him as. He's also a doctor and just rammed through this forced vaccination. Basically, it's forced vaccination. I mean, your children, they've done away with the philosophical and religious exemptions in California. So any parent that for a religious or philosophical reason declines to get their child vaccinated, they can't attend public school. Now, for me, my response to that is that's a good thing, because if the vaccinations don't harm your children, communist core will. So anyway, the good news is that it looks like there has been somewhat of a turnaround. There have been like thousands upon thousands of signatures that have been amassed to try to basically recall Pan and to do away with this draconian legislation. And honestly, I think what's going on in California is simply a beta test. And actually, my wife, I want to mention this. My wife is working with Dr. Tenpenny out of Cleveland right now to take care of some health issues. And she actually met with Dr. Tenpenny. And according to Dr. Tenpenny, and she's very, very well, I think, well-respected, well-renowned internationally, nationally, she projects that a similar legislation is coming to Ohio within 5 years. 5 years.
If Ben Carson somehow gets to be president, we may see it nationally.
And I think you and I, in our circles that we travel in, folks that who are on the same page, understand. I don't care what anybody says. This is not about public health. It is about money. And it was, I believe, Pan was paid off. I mean, I don't know what the number was, but he made lots of money off this from the pharmaceutical industries. And so for me, I don't care what, no one's going to convince me that this is about public health. No one's going to convince me this is about saving the children. If you want your children healthy, feed them a good diet, get exercise, feed them probiotics, vitamins, get them off fast food, GMO food, and then practice, you know, daily hygiene and sanitary practices.
What do you think about the arguments? I was listening to a Michael Savage show, and as you know, he has a lot of health foods. He's not just a radio show host. The man has money. He says that GMOs can be good, for instance, in areas where people are starving and have a certain deficiency in something. You can modify the rice to supplement that deficiency.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't buy it. I don't think changing the genetic code of anything edible, and I'm not a geneticist by any means, but I have studied how corporations like Monsanto wield this sort of technology. I don't know how changing the genetic code of corn, soy, or rice to withstand copious amounts of Roundup, okay, to be dumped on them, is a healthy way of you know, consumption. I don't understand that. Not only that, but some research suggests that our digestive systems will not recognize those changes, and it can then wreak havoc on the human, you know, digestive system. I mean, the BT corn, BT is a it's basically a bacteria found in dirt that kills bugs naturally. Well, what corporations like Monsanto do is they take the BT, they somehow fuse it to the genetic code of corn, so that when insects eat that corn, their stomachs rip open and they die. Okay, well, what do you think that could be doing to the digestive system of humans? We know that a large portion of children with autism have digestive problems, almost all of them. So, I mean, well, I think obviously Michael Savage is a very intelligent man, very well spoken. This is an issue that I would vehemently disagree with him upon. And I don't think there's been enough research in GMOs. And the research that has been done has been wielded by the corporations that are putting the GMOs out. You know, that, and I'm going to take it a step further and then I'll end. For me also, as a Christian, you know, God has already perfected this stuff. Anything that man is going to do to it is just going to ruin it, because that's what we do. We're good at ruining things. And for me, the food system is nothing to be playing around with, because once you change it and you let it go into the environment, you can't exactly recall it back. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're recalling a car. Okay, once it's in the wild and it's acclimated to the wild, the game is over. So those are some of the issues I have with it.
Well, what do you think the chances are of getting the doctor on the show and you asking the majority of the questions?
I think that's fine. I actually was talking with my wife about that today. I said, hey, do you think Dr. Tenpenny would give us maybe 20, 30 minutes of her time? She's been interviewed by Alex Jones. I will definitely see if I can reach out to her and see if I can get 15, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of her time. But I think I'd want to talk about, if it's all right with you, I'd want to commit that time to maybe the what she sees going on with vaccination legislation, particularly in Ohio. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of people who they're just, you know, vaccines might be helping some people, but I'm of the mindset that they're hurting others. Okay, I mean, all you have to do is go on the CDC website, look what they put into these things. Aborted fetal tissue, thimerosal, aluminum, have toxic
metals.
We now
know where they get the fetal tissue.
Yeah, thank you, Planned Parenthood. So, and again, as a Christian, I have an issue with that. I mean, abortion alone, but then the way that, it's a Frankenscience, man. It's absolute mad science. So I think if lucky enough to get her on the show, I'd probably want her to talk about what she sees going on in Ohio in terms of vaccine legislation, because I work in a school system, and I've already told my wife, if it comes down to where staff have to be vaccinated, I will quit my job, and I'll have to find other work, because it is coming. I believe it is coming, and
It also ties into the RFID also, because I just talked to a grocery store owner about the new machines that they're getting in to accept the RFID chip.
What else do you notice happening economically in America? I'm going to throw that.
Going to the cashless society.
Well, I don't know if anyone of our listeners have seen this. I've seen it a number of times. Actually, I just saw it, I think, yesterday. People paying for transactions with their phones. The clerk, the teller, they hold up their phones, they scan it. I'm telling you, folks, you can call
That's
me a coot, crazy. I don't care. We're being conditioned. We're being prepped to where the next advancement in this system is you hand out your right hand and they scan your hand. You can call me crazy.
Do you know they scanned devices for the Republican debate?
They scanned devices? What do you mean? How so?
That's how you got in with your phone.
Yeah. So it's happening. You know, it's happening sort of, it's not really forced yet. The force will be covert, and it will be something that rolls out almost, it'll seem like naturally. You know what I'm saying? And because people can't live without their damn phones, and I'm speaking to you right now on an old flip phone. I don't want an iPhone. I don't have one. I will never get one. So I'm talking to you on an old flip phone, but I'm telling you, man, our society is being conditioned to accept this, and the technology is there. It's available to make this a reality. And when the economic system of America crashes, and there was an article I read that the IMF may be trying to roll out a new currency in October that will replace the dollar. I don't know. I'm going to have to keep watching that. But imagine this. If our dollar tanks, and the powers that be say, well, hey, we've got this waiting in the wings. It's an electronic currency. You can make transactions through your phone, your computer. If people are given the choice of that or having no money, what do you think they're going to choose?
How do you think they're going to implement the cashless society? Will there be we already know they have the plunge protection team. So,
well, they're already doing it.
Stocks can't fall below a certain amount. It collapse? Will they use a collapse?
Well, number one, they will. You know what structuring is, right? Are you familiar with structuring? Okay. Well, what is that essentially? It's almost the criminalization almost of moving your cash, taking out a certain amount of cash from the bank. So there's already sort of this demonization of using cash. We know that's going on. We know that, Puerto Rico is insolvent. Greece is on the verge of collapse. And China, this was another big, a few weeks ago, China's economy, which is the second largest in the world, crashed. Twice it happened over the last 4 weeks. All right, so they have to crash the world economies and then eventually usher in a new economy that will probably have some, I believe, form of digitized backing to it. It'll be something electronic of sorts.
And that probably has a lot to do with the TPP and the global.
Yes. Yes, because in order for there to be a cashless society, one world currency, you have to break down all the individual currencies and then phase in the new one. Now, a lot of people argue with me and say, the euro works so well. Well, maybe that was a beta test. Maybe the euro is just a little practice demonstration. Regardless, the people that are pulling the strings know this. It's their goal and it's their intent. So I think that, unfortunately, Rob, not enough people are paying attention or have any discernment to even see this, and it's just being dangled. I think if you're aware of things, it's so obvious. But if you're someone, the average person, you're not. It's like they're not seeing the forest before the trees. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're seeing one corner of a much larger picture, and they're not stepping back and looking at the larger picture. So my recommendation for anybody listening is to continue to watch the world economies, especially because we are heading in towards the end of another 7-year Shemitah cycle. And we may want to talk about that another time.
Right.
But I anticipate there's so much going on. Go ahead.
No, I mean, what else you got?
Well, this is something, you know, and it's kind of off topic, but another thing I hope people will pay some attention to, the Pope. The Pope is supposed to be coming to America in September. He is supposed to be going to, I believe, Philadelphia. He is also going to speak to the United Nations on September 27th, and I believe it's 6 o'clock. He's going to be in New York City. The Big Apple, that's kind of strange. And he will be talking about, I believe he just called for a new world economic and ecological order. He just did that. It was just recent. It was, I think, in June, maybe July. So a lot of us who are Christian, who are discerning, and even people who are really paying attention to this. It just, Rob, seems very, he's real close, you know, working with Obama on this pilgrimage to America. It's just something that I think people ought to really be watching and really, whatever he says, read between the lines, because I think he's going to be promoting, and he's really, really pushing a lot of this Agenda 21 nonsense. Saving Mother Earth.
You think this is the last Pope, the Antichrist?
I don't know. I don't want to be a date setter. I don't want to be a date setter. But all I can tell you is he is tickling the itching ears. I am really taken aback by how many non-Christians, atheists, and even non-denominational Christians who are jumping on this Pope bandwagon. It's really kind of alarming to me because he's saying all the right things. He's saying all the things people want to hear. There was just a meme of the Pope Bergoglio where he said, you know, the concept of God is antiquated. You don't need God to be a good person. And that is not biblically accurate. I mean, that's more or less blasphemy. And again, if you're a discerning Christian, if you're well-versed, you know that is a lie, an absolute lie. And again, the fact that he's promoting a new economic and ecological order, and again, people can Google that. It's, you know, there's all kinds of information on the internet. Look it up. He's calling for that. Okay, well, if he's calling for it, and we know all the other world leaders are calling for it, that should sort of be a red flag. It is for me, anyway.
All right, we're going to go to commercial.
All right.
We had some panelists lined up, but I think they have stage fright. The idea was to set up a panel of regular people, because I caught Fox News and their fake panel commenting on the candidates after the debate. They're fake, ladies and gentlemen. They're Washington insiders. If I spotted one, I got to believe that they all are. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to create a panel. Everybody was outspoken after the debate on who they liked, why they liked them. And then when I invited them on the show, you see, we don't have them in the queue. Nobody showed up. So we're only going to cover a couple, but I was right. I have the new poll. Let me see, where is it? I said that we had a new top tier, and I said it was Rand Paul, Ben Carson, Fiorina, and Rubio, right? This is how close I was. Fiorina went to number one. Trump, number two. I didn't even mention Trump because I already knew he'd be up there. Because I said there would be five panelists, or not five panelists, five candidates at the next debate. You know, they had it to 10, and then they may do five, they may do seven. But definitely, they want to keep Rand Paul out.
Well,
and then you got Rubio number three, Cruz number four, Carson number five, Marco Rubio. Or no, I already said that. Huckabee. I don't know how Huckabee gets in there. I think they just want to attract the evangelicals. And the only way they can do that is with Mike Huckabee.
Well, that's, you know what, though? I noticed, at least on my Facebook feed, a number of the evangelicals, even on my YouTube account, are getting behind. They're riding the Trump train. And I don't know if we have time to talk about that tonight, but I do notice a lot of the Christians are jumping on the Trump train, and I've got some predictions about that.
After we talk about the debate, which I was really hoping that our panelists would call in. I'm a little disappointed, Jason, but it is our first day back to anyone's arm. I would expect, though, if you make a commitment to somebody that you follow through.
You follow through.
At least,
you know what?
That's what I do.
Absolutely. But you know, at the same time, I want people to call in who have a vested interest, who have an interest in wanting to talk about these issues and try to get them out. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to be forced. Do you know what I mean? Because then it's sort of coercion. I would hope that people would call and just be truthful and be honest and just be open and candid about these things. But hey, you know, it's only 9:38. Let's see.
I can tell you one thing for certain. Nobody political, in other words, nobody in my local party here will come on this show and talk politics. They don't have the balls to do it. And
That's the problem. You know what? That's why America is falling apart faster than paper shoes, or unraveling faster than a Dollar Tree Christmas sweater, is because people aren't talking about these things, or they're not aware of them. So that's the first step. I think the first step to getting America back on track is, folks, start talking. But I digress.
They don't have the balls. So I'm going to leave them with this before we go to our first commercial.
I think you need your balls reattached.
Obamacare. Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the words affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one, so you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the healthcare premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use. Yeah, you work out, stay healthy. But come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you? A message from the White House Office of Obamacare, propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and wine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th-century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful. Someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
All right, welcome back to the Robert Rule Show. I'm here with my co-host, Jason. Jason, I kind of threw this together. I got off work late again on a Sunday. I don't know what happened to Sundays. It used to be in the old days, nothing was open on Sundays. And people just, it was generally accepted. And it was nice to have a day off.
And those were times where you'd spend with your family, or you'd go to your a family member's house for dinner. Well, I think that's greed. And the fact that I'm seeing friggin' Halloween candy already and Halloween decorations in the stores, I think is a testament to that.
Wait till they break out the Christmas trees.
Oh, that'll probably be at the end of the month. If not sooner.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. What is this country doing? We have no morals. We have no values. We have people running around crazy in the streets. If you go down downtown Cleveland, let me tell you, In my neighborhood, you may see a couple kids, a group of three or four kids, maybe five at the most, riding their bikes down the street. You go down the streets in Cleveland, there's a whole damn gang full of about 50 people on bicycles riding around the neighborhood. I posted the video clip of them on the dirt bikes and the quads driving through city streets in the hood. There must have been 100. I can't afford a quad or a dirt bike. Where are these people getting the money for that?
Is Obama handing out bikes now?
Something's going on. And I haven't put my finger on it yet. I don't want to come out and say, hey, the reparations have been handed out. But when I see these... when I work for people, we're hearing on the news that the black community is the poorest community. Therefore, they're being left out, left behind. I don't see a single white person in a day. My clients are all black, all live in nice, big, beautiful homes, bigger than mine. A hell of a lot bigger than mine in most cases. I'm not seeing the suffering, Jason. I'm just not seeing it.
Well, I think that's just the establishment pitting white against black. I mean, come on. You know,
well,
there's opportunity.
Well, we know that.
For crying out loud, I did not come from a privileged background whatsoever, all right? I grew up without a mother. She died when I was 8. My dad worked, but he wasn't really available in the sense that, you know, you want your parent to be. And I was kind of out there to fend for myself. But you know what? I worked my fingers to the bone after I got out of high school. I went to college. I worked through college. I'm still paying my student loans off. You know, I don't want to hear that. I mean, if you have the drive and you put forth the effort.
No. You're wrong, Jason. You have privilege.
I wouldn't say privilege.
Do you like have a superpower?
The only superpower I may have is that of God in heaven, and that is it. And I will say right now that that is what got me through to where that also, that's the first thing that got me through is my faith. My faith in my motivation to make my life better than what I came from. Okay? And
privilege.
I'm not.
Privilege. You're privileged.
Rob, I think when you say that, it makes me think all that rhetoric that they're spouting is to justify communism and socialism. To sell the idea that that's what we need to move to, because it's just not fair. So let's just socialize America, make it a communist nation. And I think that's what, that is the end goal of that whole movement.
And they're using that because you have to have somebody to believe it, and somebody that will come out in force and fight for your socialism.
Yeah, well, you know, and people are going to get what they ask for, but I always say be careful what you ask for because you might just get it.
Yeah, we're going to get it all right because unfortunately it's moving more and more into the Republican Party. Because the Republicans, majority of them, and this is my party I'm talking about, are so weak that they think they have to get on their knees and beg for a seat at the table rather than taking it. Elections are not about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, faith, morals. It's all about groveling today, and I'm sick and tired of it. I am tired of it. I want leadership. I don't want groveling. And it's time people wake up. It's time we take it back. And when I say take it back, I mean our Constitution. And, you know, leaders, let me get into this. I want to get into this debate because a lot of what I'm saying now is going to tie in. Jason, who did you like in the debate?
Okay, I didn't watch it, and I like none of them. I'm sorry.
Well, it's your job to watch it.
No. Bob,
okay,
for me...
I'll give you a pass this time. It's all theatrics.
It's all theatrics. It's a dog and pony show. I mean,
right, but it's
our job
to commentate.
It is. And I'll tell you what. The next one, now I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know it was on until I got into Facebook app because I was gone and I came home and I saw that. But if anything, when the next debate, you tell me or just shoot me an email or I'll try to be aware of it. If anything, I'll watch it. I'll take notes. It'll be good comedy. At the very least, it'll be comedy for me.
Watch what I'm about to post, Jason.
All right.
Did you see it?
On Facebook?
Yep.
Nothing came through.
I asked about the panelists.
Oh, wait,
said,
no, hold on.
Some balls.
Yes, I saw it because I liked all your, I'm going to like that comment too.
And then I said, none of you have balls because it's true. None of you have the balls to stand up. None of you. None of my fellow Republicans have the balls, and yes, I'm calling you out. Calling you out right now. I don't care what you're doing. Oh, I gotta kiss the wife tonight. I gotta take her out to dinner and make her happy so I get laid. Listen, you can do that another time. How many days are in a week, Jason? We can't be humping every night.
Hey, I got a wife and son. I'm here, right?
And if you got to take her out to dinner to get her excited, well, then there's something wrong with you besides not having any balls. Right?
I mean,
come on. Be a man, people. Some of these women in our party have more balls than the men. I swear they do. And I love that. We have some fiery women. Let's see. Let's talk. I'm going to play you a clip of the. We'll start at the bottom. And I only have a few clips here. So, Rand Paul, according to the new polls that are out, isn't even on the radar.
That's by design, yes.
So. I'm going to play the exchange between Rand Paul and Chris Christie. I don't know if you've seen that or heard that one. But here it is.
And I'll tell you why. Because I'm the only person on this stage who's actually filed applications under the Patriot Act, who have gone before the federal, the Foreign Intelligence Service Court, who has prosecuted and investigated and jailed terrorists in this country after September 11th. I was appointed U.S. Attorney by President Bush on September 10th, 2001, and the world changed enormously the next day, and it happened in my state. This is not theoretical to me. I went to the funerals. We lost friends of ours in the Trade Center that day. My own wife was two blocks from the Trade Center that day at her office, having gone through it that morning. When you actually have to be responsible for doing this, you can do it, and we did it for 7 years in my office, respecting civil liberties and protecting the homeland. And I will make no apologies ever for protecting the lives and the safety of the American people. We have to give more tools to our folks to be able to do that, not fewer, and then trust those people and oversee them to do it the right way. As president, that is exactly what I'll do.
What'd you think about that, Jason?
sounds sincere. Sounds good. I just don't know if I buy that.
Wasn't he too busy shutting down a bridge?
Well, yeah, exactly. Chris Christie, don't even get me started. Again, I think that they're going to... I didn't want to say it, but thank you for...
Eat every citizen out of house at home.
Literally. You know what? I just feel like, man, they get up there and they say all the right things. They say all the things that you and I and the common American want to happen. But damn it, when it comes to the actual, you know, rubber and the meeting the road, they don't do it. All we have to do is play the debates. I wish we could tape the debates and then in like 5-6 years, play them over again. So whatever candidate wins, we can say, well, here's what they said they were going to do. Here's what they did do or did not do.
We can do that.
I think we should. Let's take a little time capsule.
So here's Rand Paul's answer to that. And then a little bit of a heated exchange.
Megan, may I respond?
Go ahead, sir.
Now, I'm going to replay this, but let me just say, Rand Paul had to fight for speaking time. He wasn't asked a question before this. He wanted to respond.
Megan, may I respond? I'll respond.
Go ahead, sir.
I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from innocent Americans. The Fourth Amendment was what we fought the revolution over. John Adams said it was the spark that led to our war for independence. And I'm proud of standing for the Bill of Rights, and I will continue to stand for the Bill of Rights.
And Megan, that's a completely ridiculous answer. I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from other people. How are you supposed to know, Megan?
Use the Fourth Amendment.
How are you supposed
to?
I'll tell you how you
get a warrant.
Let me tell you something.
Get a judge to sign
when
a
warrant. You know, Senator.
Go ahead, wait, Governor Christie, make your point.
Listen, Senator, you know, when you're sitting in a subcommittee just blowing hot air about this, you can say things like that. When you're responsible for protecting the lives of the American people, then what you need to do is to make sure that
Here's
you use the
problem,
system
Governor.
The way it's supposed
Here's
to work.
Here's the problem, Governor. You fundamentally misunderstand the Bill of Rights. Every time you did a case, you got a warrant from a judge. I'm talking about searches without warrants, indiscriminately of all Americans' records, and that's what I fought to end. I don't trust President Obama with our records. I know you gave him a big hug, and if you want to give him a big hug again, go right ahead.
I love it. That was Rand Paul, right?
Yes.
So Rand Paul just spanked Chris Christie and sent him back to the buffet line, didn't he?
He spiked his ass all the way home. And
good.
Now you got a bunch of people that don't like Rand Paul saying, oh, Christie won that. Then Christie came out after that and tried to pull a Giuliani, and we all remember that. There it is.
Wendell, may I make a comment on that? That's really an extraordinary statement. As an extraordinary statement of someone who lived through the attack of September 11. And I would ask the congressman to withdraw that comment and tell us that he didn't really mean that.
You see, their rebuttals, just like Giuliani did to Rand Paul's father, they play on the emotions.
Was that
terrorism.
Christie that... Did Christie say that about 9/11?
That was Giuliani.
Okay, that... Yeah,
But Christie said, well, I had to hug all those families after 9/11, playing on the emotions of the American people. Jason, you know what separates you and I from these people? The lemmings? I, for one, I don't have emotions when it comes to the Constitution, the rule of law. There is no room for emotions.
It just is what it is.
What was the I just recently heard a quote about that. Well, let me see if I can find it here.
I have to say, while you're doing that, Christie's, that is so low brow. That is so low brow of him to say that. I mean, and that's exactly, he's just playing on the emotions to make up for his incompetency.
That's right. Here's the quote. Facts don't care about feelings.
That is true.
If you play into emotions when it comes to politics, you're going to ruin this country. We don't have time for that. They're going to cry, oh, we were attacked, oh, and then Giuliani, well, I survived September 11th.
Oh,
was
please.
He in the building, Jason? I don't recall.
No, he was, again, he's trying to paint himself as some sort of...
How do you survive
some sort
an attack
of martyr.
If you're not even in the building?
Now, he's trying to make himself look like, oh, you know, I was there, and I... He's just making himself look more important. That's all. Again, it's theatrics. That's all it is.
And then you had him, and you had Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, who, by the way, has a company that makes... What do you think that his company made, Jason?
Who is this?
The body scanners.
Oh, billions?
Oh, yeah.
Billions? Yeah. In exchange for our freedom, that's what's at stake here. You know, a little, you know, just sacrifice a little bit of, you know, your freedom for a false sense of security. That's what it is.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we're gonna leave the borders wide open. But we're going to put body scanners in every mall in America and every school, and we're going to leave the borders wide open. And not only are we going to leave the borders wide open, but we're going to ship these jihadists in from overseas, give them a house, place to live, and we're going to feed them and clothe them with your tax money.
And, Rob, tell me this. How many terrorist plots has the TSA thwarted?
Zero.
Zero?
Well, unless you count the, not even the underwear bomber. He was gotten onto the plane with no passport, no ID, and his handler, who they dubbed the sharp-dressed man, got him onto the plane. And then they rolled out everything. I remember my daughter is in the military, and we went to say our goodbyes, and everybody went. You had to go through the checkpoint in order to see her onto her plane, and I wouldn't go. I said my goodbyes before I went on her because I knew if somebody touched me in the wrong spot, there was going to be a problem. And so I didn't even go. I'm not taking my shoes off for anybody. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not taking my shoes off.
Well, and you know what's funny to me? It's all illusion. Do you know what I mean? We go through these checkpoints. We go through these scanners. We go through these pat-downs. And it gives us this false sense that we are being protected when, in fact, we're being violated. It's a complete violation. It's not going to stop terrorism.
You're being conditioned.
That's right. And what do I always say? Take what message is being sent to you and just think the direct opposite, because that's where the truth is. So when they say this is for your safety, security, all that nonsense, especially if it's coming from the government, just take that and think the direct opposite, and that's where the truth is. And so all this nonsense, scanners...
Or think the worst, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's all a
papers.
Big, it's all smoke and mirrors at taxpayers' expense.
Papers, please. Nazi checkpoints coming to a town near you. the debate. Let's keep with the debate.
Go ahead.
Ben Carson, who is a doctor, who is for forced vaccinations, admittedly. Yes, he did say it. Some people are okay with that because they think he is he has a presidential appearance. He's well spoken.
Can I add something real quick? Okay, real quick, I just want to say, you think, does anybody in their right mind think that it's going to end with forced vaccinations? You think if you give the government that kind of control over your body, that it's going to end there? It won't. It's not going to end with vaccinations. Once you give them the okay for that, Pandora's box is open and you're not going to get it closed. Sorry, I'm just going to end it there.
Exactly. So he's for forced vaccinations, but he talks a good game. If you recall, his presidential run started basically when he came out and gave a speech at an Obama dinner and pretty much told the president how it was. And from then on, people loved him. He came on the stage. He was the black guy that they all needed. And I can't believe they asked him a question about race at the presidential debate. If I were Ben Carson, I would have said, you know what? I'm offended that you would ask the black guy about race. And I would have refused to answer the question. But being the good sport that he is, he answered the question. You know that's what he's there for. He's the opposite of Obama. They need him to pick up Democrat support. Then you got Trump. And let me talk about, first I want to talk about iCarly Fiorina. She's the woman that everybody loves. She was a CEO, I guess, and not a career politician like Hillary. But she did say one thing that I liked. Now, is she full of crap? I don't know. Here it is.
This is a great nation. It is a unique nation in all of human history and on the face of the planet, because here our founders believed that everyone has a right to fulfill their potential, and that right, they called it life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, comes from God and cannot be taken away by government. We have arrived at a point in our nation's history where the potential of this nation and too many Americans is being crushed by the weight, the power, the cost, the complexity, the ineptitude, the corruption of the federal government. And only someone who will challenge the status quo of Washington, D.C. can lead the resurgence of this great nation. I will do that.
What do you think?
Again, it sounds good, but I don't know. I don't trust the system. It's broken. It's all theatrics, and I know this is a talk show that, you know, it Republican Democrat in a purest form, in its purest form, yes, I would identify more of a conservative. The thing is, what you and I consider to be like conservative Republican is not what the reality is. You know what I mean? It's like Democrat and Democrat light, and that's what we have.
I would agree. I think they're full of shit. Excuse my language. There's really no other way to put it. So, and then you had Marco Rubio, same old song and dance, Pathway to Citizenship. Jeb Bush was, I didn't even realize he was on the stage. He was non-existent. So how he could be the top tier candidate is beyond me. He said at the debate that he wasn't for Common Core, but we all know
he is.
He's for Common Core. John Kasich is for Common Core. We know that.
Which, hold on a minute, which I just want to say, people, Communist Core will lead to a federalized curriculum. I need to add that. That's what the end game will be of Common Core.
And Casey said, we're the reason for the scare on Common Core. It's an internet scare, and it's not, there's not really anything bad about it. Pretty much to paraphrase what he said. But I think Kasich looked really presidential in the debate, and you would expect that from a governor.
Which means he looked like he had a hand rammed up his ass. Sorry.
Like a puppet.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I like about Kasich is that when he walks into a room, he walks in through the front door and talks to people. That's what you want to see in somebody who's going to lead. He doesn't come in the back door with all his security guards, all in secret, like he's King Shit a Turd Mountain. You know, you want somebody to come out and meet with you and somebody you can vent to. I saw that from Carson, that type of mentality. I saw that from Paul. I saw that from Fiorina. But I didn't really see that from any of the other candidates. Now, Trump is an exception because, and here we're going to get into Trump. Trump is a rich and powerful man. He doesn't have to bow to anybody. He's going to say what's on his mind, whether you like it or not, and let the chips fall where they may. And he's not afraid to say it. He'll go up against anybody. But here's the thing. Here's what I see. Some people say, well, he's going to run third party, and Hillary's going to win. Well, that's one scenario. Here's the other scenario. Trump endorses Bush and gives his delegates then to Bush. That's how the process works in nominating the presidential candidate, because they had the GOP, unbeknownst to a lot of people, the GOP changed the rules at the last convention. Okay, if Trump gives up his delegates, then it no longer goes to a vote, if I recall correctly. The leader out of all the Republicans, plus the Republican Party itself, gets to choose the nominee. They changed the rules. The people fell for it. We had Joan the Silencer. The eyes have it. Speaker Boehner said the eyes have it in his infamous drunken voice. And when clearly it was a tie between the A's and A's. Okay. So all of that's in play here is this coming convention. Jeb Bush, he could put his weight behind Jeb Bush, or he could run third party and Hillary would win. Either way though, Jason, who wins? Either way.
That's exactly right.
Trump,
that's who's going.
Is their hedge on this bet? They could go either way. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that this is all manipulation. I'll be honest with you. I believe there's a level of manipulation behind this.
They have absolutely got the people right where they want them. So that's it in a nutshell. And I'm sorry if you're a Trump supporter. I don't care. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to go. There's the bombshell. Jason, I want to get to some news. Right after our second commercial break.
Sounds good.
Now, John McCain and Lindsey Graham encourage you to get behind immigration reform.
Comprehensive immigration reform is almost within our grasp. But a few conservative Republican holdouts are making this process uncomfortable.
They just don't understand the Republican Party is in a demographic death swirly.
We need Hispanics to replace the coming wave of conservatives who will no longer support our party.
After we give corporate America the cheap labor we promised in exchange for campaign donations.
Border security, biometric identification, fences, fines, penalties
are all words that are somewhere in this bill.
So it passes the smell test as far as we're concerned.
So conservatives, quit calling and bugging your representatives to vote against this bill.
It's a good bill, and as a co-author of McCain-Feingold, you have my word on that.
This message paid for by Democrats for Republicans, USA.
You've got a headache. I've got some strange disease, don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease. It's called Progenitorivox. It's made by Squab Merle Co. It's a life-enhancing miracle, but there are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations, but it's worth it for the drugs I need. My disease may not be fatal, but I can ease my fears by taking two $12 pills each day for 50 years. They've spent billions to convince me, so now I realize Progenitorivox beats diet and exercise. I've got insurance, at least for now I do. And if I bought generic, it would cut my cost in two. But I want Progenitorivox, 'cause I saw it on TV. Those families look so functional, that Paisley pill's for me. But it may cause deprivation, humiliation, debtors, prison, and deportation. Dark depictions, dire predictions, life as seen in Dickens fiction. Empty pockets, court dockets, may cause eyes to pop from sockets, but it's worth it for the drugs I need.
Well, the first day we met, he came up to me and the first thing he said was, God hates facts.
I did. It was beautiful. For me, Westboro Mingle is this vehicle that God did use to put my wife and I together. And that, for me, is a very powerful, powerful thing.
Powerful. Like a bomb. Like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, like a bomb that just blows everything up.
Kills everyone. When I met Jay on Westboro Mingle, I was so relieved. I finally found someone who hates everything I hate.
Blacks, gays, Jews, Mexicans, Jamaicans, anything west of America.
Music, dancing.
Vacations.
Dinosaurs.
Space travel.
Modern art.
Books.
Okay. Oh, and I remember this one time we would be picketing a funeral. It was the kindergartners, or was it the war?
It was the soldiers.
It was the soldiers, mm-hmm. And my arms were tired. And he comes up to me and he takes the sign out of my hands, and he goes right up to that enabler's children. And what did you say?
I said, your father's burning in the eternal fires of hell.
Hi, my name's Mindy, and I met my husband Jay on WesboroMingle.com.
Join WesboroMingle.com, the first website made by God.
Hello, peasants. I mean citizens. We are here to protect you. Do not believe the conspiracy theorists who say you have rights. Do not believe the conspiracy theorists who say there is a constitution. You don't, and there isn't. In fact, you need not bother with responsibility at all. We will take care of you. We will protect you. If you happen to hear these crazy people babble about gun rights, the Constitution, corrupt politicians, or anything else that could possibly sentence us to a life in prison, please contact our offices immediately, and we will indefinitely detain them.
Your papers? I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'd have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that yes. Here they are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt!
You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
My mama, where
here a couple years ago on timeline.
All right, so we're back. Jason, I wish I could find, let's see. So this was all over the news, and I'm sure you heard it. Eric Erickson of Red State, who I like. I really like his show. I think he made a mistake of uninviting Trump to the Red State event. And, of course, what Trump's doing is, Donald Trump is a very, very, very intelligent man. So even negative, he knows that even negative press will get you seen, right? Will boost.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Look at people make up stuff about themselves just to stir up controversy and sell more albums. And it works. Even if you make something up that's possibly life destroying, people will buy your albums. That's the oldest trick in the book. And so Donald Trump, when he says these vile things and when he just shoots off at the mouth, he's got a plan.
Well, yeah, he's a megalomaniac. So, yeah, I mean, anything he really is. I mean, anything that, and I give the guy credit. I mean, he's built an empire. I mean, he's worked hard, and that's all respectable and everything. But the fact of the matter is the guy's got an ego the size of Texas. And you're right. Any kind of press, any kind of attention is good. It doesn't really matter to him.
Right. And that's how it's done. That's how you get things done. And that's why he's leading in the polls. Because the lemmings will follow anyone that's in the media 50 times a day. Even if they don't like him, they're going to follow him. You know, they're going to say, well, he's honest. I like honesty. Is he being honest?
It's almost painful for me to watch all these people follow him like the damn Pied Piper. Because I'm telling you something, mark my words, if Donald Trump makes it to the Oval Office, I project he'll continue the path that we have seen of the last several presidents. I don't care what
Here's
anybody
the question.
Says.
Here's the question, though. Is he really running for president? Does he really want to be president? Or is he doing a favor to the establishment to hedge their bet?
That's what I think.
On either candidate.
I think that the latter. What you just said, I think that is the intent. And yes, he's a part of this little parade. That's why when I see everybody jumping on this bandwagon, and I made a comment a couple days ago on Facebook that society loves bandwagons. Just be certain that the bandwagon that you've emphatically leapt upon isn't headed towards a cliff. And that's what I sort of see happening.
Here's my prediction, Jason. Donald Trump will not be president. And it's not because I don't like him. This is the way I feel about people. You make millions of dollars, you can say whatever the hell you want. I'm good with it. I actually like it. It's comical. I love it. But he's not serious. He's not going to be the president. Endorse Jeb Bush, or B, run third party, and Clinton wins. That's the bottom line.
And you know what? Think about it like this. Let's look at this in a little more from a psychological perspective. He gets all these people to jump on his bandwagon because they like what he says. He decides, I'm not going to do this. Then Jeb or someone else starts, parroting the same crap that Trump was saying. And all the people that like Trump think, well, I like Trump. Jeb is kind of talking the same game. I think I'll go with Jeb. I can see that kind of shaking out that way.
And you know what? And Rand Paul was the guy. Rand Paul would have stood out had it not been for Trump. And that's what this hedge bet is all about. And I think Rand Paul has caught on. And I think there was an article about Rand Paul figuring this out. Here it is. Senator Rand Paul believes voters should not be fooled by Donald Trump's shtick as a Washington outsider and truth teller. One of the things that's going on, and this is a quote from Rand Paul, in the race that I think puzzling is that Trump is trying to run an outsider and a truth teller when in reality he's the consummate insider who buys and sells politicians like he buys and sells other commodities. So we've got this guy, and it's like, what is he famous for, Paul said. He's famous for buying politicians. Paul also reportedly described Trump several times as the guy with the big hair and questions his conservative principles in campaign speeches over the weekend. I can't imagine Donald Trump even knows what a Tea Party is, Paul said, referring to the grassroots conservative movement, according to the Washington Post. So Rand Paul is hip to this. I'm hip to this. A lot of people aren't, Jason. Well, now, you seem to think along the same lines. What do you tell these people?
If I were to vote, I would vote for Rand Paul, but I don't think he's got a snowball's chance in hell. I think there aren't enough people that understand his angle. They still believe in this Republican-Democratic paradigm. And I know he's running as a Republican, but I think he's too sort of unfamiliar to a lot of people, and they don't like that. You know, and psychology has proven familiarity breeds liking. So that's what concerns me about Trump, Clinton, Jeb. They're all kind of familiar. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and that's why battered women always go back to their exes, because it's familiar.
Yes. Yes. And it's predictable. You can pretty much, you know, if he beats the crap out of you one day, he's going to beat the crap out of you again the next day, and at least it's predictable, you know.
Familiar to them. So
we know in psychology and in studies that familiarity breeds liking. That whole idea of opposites attract really isn't true. It's, you know, it's that people like things that are familiar. And you know, I'm concerned that the folks we have, the prospects, are a little bit too damn familiar.
Way too familiar. And, you know, that's part of campaign strategy, is to get your name out there. Some people run, they know they're not going to win. They just run in order to get their name out there. Then they wait a couple of years and they do it again. And people know who they are. They know the name. And something clicks inside their brain when they go inside those voting booths and they say, hey, this name sounds familiar. I'm going to vote for this guy.
It's like Cheers. Everybody knows your name, right? And everybody just gets, sings into it, breaks into song. So, yeah, that's my concern, man, is that there's too much familiarity and far too many people are too dumbed down to think past their pinky finger. So they're going to go with what's familiar to them.
Speaking of breaking into song, the Republican debate in Cleveland, let me tell you what it looked like in a song.
I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, then come on. Oh, come on.
Can you see all the Republican kiss asses and all of the establishment just getting together?
I've been really trying, baby.
Oh, they were having a good time. Oh, baby.
Trying to hold back.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what? It makes you hope that there's a free clinic right next door because they're just spreading their disease, you know? I mean, really. I mean, metaphorically speaking, all they do is spread the disease.
But in the words of Charlie Sheen, they are still winning. It's a mystery.
Well, you know.
Well,
there's two governments, Rob. All right, there's the puppet government. That's the government that like is paraded on TV, and the government that everybody's familiar with. And then there's the shadow government, and that's the government that is pulling the strings. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about, and I believe that
is
very well documented.
Which is a multinational corporate cartel.
International banking, Western Central Banking Cartel. That is the government that is basically keeping us all in this sort of perpetual enslavement state. And that's why I have such little faith in the bigger, governing juggernaut, is that I recognize it is absolutely futile. It is futile. I agree with you. If you want to change things, it's at the local level. Nothing will change at the federal level because of this shadow government.
It's like the movie, and I forget the name of the movie, where the kids, the hackers, they find a signal, and they follow the signal to where it came from. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in a world that's fake. And finally, at the end, where the guy busts out of it, he finds himself on a spaceship out in space somewhere. What is it?
Who is in it?
I don't know. Lawrence Fishburne was one of the people in it. He was the head guy.
The Matrix?
And turns out, no.
Okay.
And it turns out he was like an alien at the end, like a robot.
Okay.
Basically, this whole debate, the whole presidential debate, Republican debate, is a simulation. It's not real. Everything is pre-planned. Everything is well thought out. You are being fooled. And in the end, your vote doesn't count anyway for the presidential election. What you need to be concentrating on is your local candidates.
Yes, that is true. All that stuff that they parade on television is nothing more than theater. It doesn't freaking matter who inherits the White House. That is what bothers me. People don't seem to get that. And in order to reclaim our country, people need to start wising up to that notion, because we are being had.
The most important positions that you're going to vote on this coming election are Congress. You're voting for your congressman, and you're voting for your senators. Those are the most important. The second most important are your state representatives. After that comes your commissioners. After that comes your council members. And after that comes your committee members. We have a race coming up here in the 14th district. Dave Joyce is the incumbent, two times running. Now, he's gotten more conservative over the past few months because now he has a challenger, Matt Lynch, who has a great record in the Ohio House. Now, I've heard some things from people. I don't know if they're true or not. I heard that Lynch's family is in politics, and there's one thing that concerns me about Lynch, and that is the religious side, because I don't feel the need to push my religion on anybody. I agree that we need morals in society, but that has a lot to do with the school system. If the Republicans back in Reagan's day they had a chance. It was on the Republican platform when Reagan ran for president that we needed to get rid of the Department of Education. And Reagan then turned around and doubled the size of the Department of Education. So that's where we're losing, essentially, is the Department of Education.
You know, and that, yeah, and that's not going to change, unfortunately. I think, especially with this, if Common Core isn't repealed, we're going to see much more federalization of public education. And I have a saying, the most effective way to destroy an efficient system is to hand it over to the federal government. And that is exactly what is going to happen.
Right.
And folks, I work in the public education system and have for going on, this is my 13th or 14th year.
Jason, I think we had a good show for our first time back.
I do too. I feel very pumped. I'm very excited for the coming months. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about as we approach September. I do think if maybe we could get, you know, pick one or two topics, and I'll try to do my own research on those topics, and maybe just, you know, do our news segments, but then maybe try to really cover a couple real serious topics. Maybe that might help streamline things. But I know I'm really optimistic, but and I'm really proud that there was some nomination. I mean, I don't know how that came about, but that's awesome.
You know what I learned the other day? It's kind of funny. There's a 12-year-old gypsy girl who has an IQ of 162. I didn't
That's
know
very
this.
Superior range.
She has an IQ higher than Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
And when I looked at her, now my IQ is 168.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, I can't believe that I have a higher IQ than Stephen Hawking. And I have nothing to show for it.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Stephen
Hawking, isn't he an atheist?
I don't know.
Who am I thinking of? He's the guy with ALS, right?
Yeah, in the wheelchair, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, and I'm sure I'm going to upset some people, but I don't care how high of an IQ you have. If you deny the existence of God, I think that has to be one of the most, if not the most, foolish. I question anybody's intellect to deny God. I'm sorry. I think that I really question them and how intelligent they really are. But I just have to say that you can be intelligent and not wise. You know, for me, wisdom is the application, the deeper application of knowledge. So,
right.
Just my two cents.
I think tonight I'd like to end the show right here.
Sounds good.
I do want to, but not exactly end it. Just kind of wind down because we have some people. We have a website being built. A very trustworthy person who actually works for the Mises Institute. We're going to be able to post news stories on the website. She will edit the website. I trust her. She's a very constitutional person. Hopefully we can get her to manage the Facebook page, the rule report. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, The Robert Rule Show. And I thought we had lined up an editor to edit clips and send them to me so I didn't have to do all that work. But that didn't work out for tonight. We're going to have to find some more people, Jason. We're going to have to get more people involved.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to try and make contact with Dr. Tenpenny and see if she might at least give us 20, 30 minutes of time to talk about impending vaccination law for Ohio. Would that be of interest to you?
That would be very interesting.
You know what I thought? I had some cool ideas. What about you and I just trying to get some
like pictures of you and I on a website. I have just a couple cool ideas, like black and white. I don't know. I thought that'd be kind of cool. You know a good photographer?
I do, actually. I don't know what the charge would be for that, but...
Just a couple shots, you know, maybe kind of a one serious, one kind of funny. Something black and white.
I'm not very photogenic.
Bull crap.
The ladies seem to like me in person, but I'm not very photogenic.
Well, I'll tell you what. think about it. I just think it might be nice for people to be able to place a face with a name. That's all.
Okay.
So just think it over.
We can discuss that.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you back. For those of you that have no balls, maybe you should just stay away. And, you know, if you ever decide to grow a pair, you can join us. But definitely we need men or women with balls joining us on this program every night, 9 to 11 p.m., Sunday through Thursday. Jason, it's been a pleasure. Welcome back.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, God bless you all, and God bless America.